Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show. Sponsored by ESB. Working towards a brighter energy future. ESB.ie.
It is time for the Green Scene, and we're continuing on flight, but not aircraft. This time we're going to talk about the flight of bees, and also we'll be talking about what's called the gamification of travel. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, is on the line. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Yes, but we're going to talk about very different kinds of urban travel this morning. So first, we're going to start with the bees.
Yeah, now tell me about the bees, because I was astonished when I got your notes that the rural bee, our country bee cousin, has to work harder to get food than the urban bee. Explain.
Yeah, this is really interesting research that's come from Royal Holloway University in London. And the researchers there have been working on bees for years, and they've actually started to interpret the bees' language. And bees actually have amazingly sophisticated language. And one thing that people may have heard of with honeybees is they do something called a waggle dance. And it's like a little GPS signal. So when a honeybee returns to the hive after successfully finding food, it'll do a little dance and it'll tell the other members of the hive where to go to find a source of food. So the researchers were able to study this in urban bees and in rural bees. And what they found was the bees in urban areas only had to go about less than 500 metres on average, whereas bees in rural areas had to go nearly 750 metres to forage for food. So what they found was that there didn't seem to be any significant difference in the amount of food they were getting. So it wasn't that the rural bees were going further to get more food. But in fact, this diversity that we see in parks and gardens is actually providing an ideal environment for our honeybees.
So we know about the destruction of hedgerows and things like that in the countryside, you know, to make up bigger areas that can be ploughed and so on and planted. So that means that the rural bee just has to go farther to find the stuff to forage on.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we know that probably pesticides are probably a problem in both environments for bees. But again, the researchers are seeing a sort of complex interplay between different stressors on our bee populations. So certainly it's a habitat issue, that there's probably good habitats in old buildings, in cities, and, you know, wall cavities and things are great places for bees to live and you know, they're habitats for them. But I think it's about looking at all of the different aspects of the bee's lifestyle. And what we're seeing is that diversity of plants and flowers in the rural environment seems to be providing a better food source for bees.
And bees are amazingly sophisticated. They have a language. They can ask to be groomed by one of their mates, and they can learn to do tricks.
I mean, this was amazing. I was reading this. They've actually shown that bees can learn even to use tools. It's the only recorded incidence of an invertebrate using a tool. They can learn to pull a string or move a little ball to get food. And in fact, there's even been experiments, Pat, this is incredible, by researchers in Australia suggesting bees may be able to count. So in fact, when they show bees tables with different numbers of items on them, and they get consistently rewarded for flying to the table that has fewer items on it, they will do that. They will learn to do that more frequently than we would expect by chance. So, yeah, I mean, the more and more I think we learn about bees, I mean, we know how dependent we are on them, but we also learn what incredible little creatures they are.
Now, you told us last week you were going to talk about gamification of travel, gamification of exercise, if you like. And then, lo and behold, you must be prescient, because Dublin City Council announced an initiative for Dublin 8, where people will be rewarded with some sort of tokens when they take a walk.
That's right. I saw that. It's like great minds think alike, Pat. Yes, I was going to tell you about this research that's been happening in the UK. And it's quite similar to what's been going on in Dublin 8. But there are some differences as well. So the project in Hounslow, in a borough of London, exactly as you said, was using game elements to try and encourage people to travel actively to school or to work. And the project here in Dublin was using a smartphone app so that when you went into the park, it tracked that you were in the park, and it could track how much walking you were doing in the park. But in London, it was a game where you had a card, like a credit card. And as you walked around the area of the borough, you could tap your card on a physical box, and players got points every time they touched between two boxes, showing that they had walked or cycled or scooted between them. And I suppose the gamification element in London was that the highest scoring individuals or teams, and in fact people did get together in teams to play, at the end of 6 weeks there was prizes, so vouchers for sports equipment or books or things. And the other thing about what went on in London was it was also a research project. So the team had a representative sample of adults who were doing questionnaires before the study and after. And they did find that fewer people in the area were physically inactive. So there wasn't a huge change, but the number of people who said they were completely inactive went down from 25% to 18%. And they also saw more people meeting that WHO recommendation of getting 150 minutes of moderate exercise per week. But I think possibly the most important output was they saw a very significant reduction in the number of cars and vans going down the street, particularly in the key commuting window between 7 and 9:30. So this was really focused on, can we use these incentives to get people out of their cars and onto the street?
Does it work? I mean, internationally, where people are walking more, cycling more, by the provision of those kind of things that are slowly being introduced here, does it work? Does it lower the carbon footprint?
It definitely does. And in fact, what researchers have done, looking at a big, big study, looking at thousands of journeys in cities all over the world, is that actually just, and this is maybe the best way to think about it, for an average person, if we just cycled or walked one trip a day instead of getting in the car and hence drove one car journey less, we could decrease our CO2 emissions for the year by about half a ton. And to put that in context, the average person's transport emissions of CO2 is about 2 tons. So we could cut a quarter of our emissions just by choosing to walk or cycle instead of getting in the car for one trip a day. And I think the idea of the gamification, certainly, I can imagine for parents, you know, trying to drag kids to walk to school when they're being told, oh, can we not just get in the car? You know, the idea of a game and prizes maybe for their school would really, really encourage that kind of activity.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much.